1 Corinthians chapter number 4 is where we are for the preaching of God's word, and we've been going through 1 Corinthians a little bit at a time, and of course it's a great passage of scripture. It's a great book for a church to go through because it is such a, obviously it's written to a church, it's a letter to a church, but it's written as a letter to a church that had issues, that had problems that needed to be corrected. And so every church, no matter how healthy, can learn from it and can grow from it. And we all have things that we need to be strengthened, or maybe to be changed. We need to be rebuked on some things, or exhorted on some things, or we need to shore up some areas that are weak, or watch for the areas where Satan would tempt us as a church. And so it's a great study in a book. And of course, the first part of it was all about their pride in who they were associated with, whether it be Paul or Apollos or Peter or whomever it might be. And they all had pride in that. And the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage them not to think of themselves as separated from one another based on their associations. And now we come to, in chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 8, he's going to begin to reveal to them what it's really like to be an apostle. They want to associate with the apostles, then they ought to know what it is like to be an apostle. That it doesn't mean glory and fame. That it is trouble and strife and difficulty. And that's a good reminder for all of us, isn't it? I was speaking with somebody this morning and was not talking about myself. I was talking about them and the position that they have. But I said to them, you know, leadership is not all it's cracked up to be, is it? A lot of times people want to be in leadership, and then once you get into leadership, you realize actually it can be kind of difficult and lonely. And again, I wasn't talking about myself. I'm talking about them, the leadership they had, and it can be difficult. Well, that was certainly the way for Paul and Apollos and the rest of them. Let's start with verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 4 and just read down through a few verses. We'll pray and we'll get into the message. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Let's pray. Lord, would you enable me now to preach your word with power and authority and faithfully and true. Lord, I know that you love these, your people. This church belongs to you and you love them. And Lord, I want to obey you. You have commanded me to feed the sheep. And Lord, I want to do so because I love you and I want to obey you. But Lord, I admit before you and before your people that without you, I can do nothing. I cannot feed them on my own. Holy Spirit of God, you have to be the one to do it and just use me as a tool in your hand. And I ask that you would do that. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to bring about revival in our lives. Lord, I want revival for myself and I want it for your people. Lord, I want Madison Baptist Church to experience greater spiritual health than ever before. Lord, would you please bring that about because I can't do it. You are the great physician. And you can heal us where we are sick. You can bring the medicine of your word and your Holy Spirit to change minds and hearts. Lord, begin with me, work through all of us. Do it for your own honor and glory because you are jealous for your people. I ask that you would do it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could title the message tonight, I would title it A Contrast in Ministry. Again, the apostle is going to talk about how it's not all it's cracked up to be an apostle. And he begins with verse number 8 with sharing with them the blessed state of the Christian. It is wonderful to be a Christian. And by the way, it really is. It is wonderful to be a Christian. This last week, my family and I had an opportunity to just attend an event and be out in the world a little bit as far as attend a sporting event, and it was fun. We had a good time, but I couldn't help but think of the world and what they were doing. You know how they are at a sporting event, right? The music is usually way too loud. And, you know, there's usually some drinking involved of some of the people around you and all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, I'm glad that as a Christian, I don't have to have those things to have a good time. I get to save my eardrums. Isn't that a blessing? I can be an old man and not be deaf from listening to all that music all the time. But to the world, boy, if you're going to have a good time, you got to do those things. I'm so glad that as a Christian, just one little thing, I don't have to do that. I don't have to live that way. And I'm blessed to have God's word that teaches me how to live and, listen, keeps me married and keeps me from killing my kids. And all the parents said, amen, right? God's word makes such a difference in our lives. And again, my wife was on a jury duty this last week, and that's probably why she's at home sick today. She's recovering from jury duty. But listen, she was in a case where there was domestic abuse and a guy came home and he had drank too much and all of that and done some things. Listen, I don't have to go through that. What a blessing. And it's not because I'm any better than anyone else. It's not because I'm any smarter than anybody else. But it's because I have God's word. I have God's spirit. And those things don't even have any appeal to me. And I'm so thankful for that. It is good to be a Christian. It's good to be in a church, and it's good to be with God's people. And verse 8 talks about that. He says to the Corinthians, he says, now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign that we also might reign with you. They were full, according to Paul. They were rich, and that's us. They reigned as kings, he says. I believe there's a little bit of sarcasm in there. There's some truth because we are kings and priests in Christ. But I believe he's throwing a little sarcasm in there that they really were thinking they were all that in a bag of potato chips. And they were reigning as kings, so to speak. But yet, listen, that is a blessing. We are that way as Christians. We are full. We have all we need. We have everything that possibly we could need in this world. And we are rich. Listen, we get to enjoy the blessings of God and walk through this life with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance as a part of our daily walk that is within us in the Spirit of God. We are rich, and when we die, we go to heaven. Wow, we are a blessed people. We are as rich, and we are reigning as kings. Though I realize we suffer in this world, but yet, as the apostle said earlier in the book, in chapter 3, as chapter 3 ends, he says, all things are yours. We do reign as kings. This Corinthian church was reigning as kings without the apostles. We will see in just a little bit, and as we look at the later verses, that the apostles did not reign as kings, and that Paul was their spiritual father, but as they felt that as they were reigning with kings, even though he was their spiritual father, they felt as if they did not need him anymore and the other apostles. They would associate with them and kind of use their name as a way to divide themselves, but they weren't leaning on Paul and the other apostles for help and for their spiritual place of a father. They were reigning as kings. You know what? That teaches us how quickly we can move from blessing into self-sufficiency. I hope you caught that. How quickly we can turn from blessing to all of a sudden I don't need anything anymore. You know how it is. Again, we're in a season where we just finished up with a political season, and the next one's going to begin in probably 3 months, if not less. But right, we had an election, and a lot of the people maybe that we wanted to get voted in, or at least some of them got voted in, and there were some conservative people that are now in power, and we see some things going on that perhaps maybe are some common sense, and it's a blessing and refreshing to see some of those things. You know, like when the president stands up and says, the federal government's only going to recognize male and female. I said, praise the Lord, amen. That was one of the biggest shouting fits I had, right, is on that day. I'm so thankful for that, but you know how it is. 6 months from now, I have a feeling we'll be pretty complacent. And we'll forget what things were like and the lunacy that we went through for the last several years. And of course, there'll be plenty of lunacy with the current administration too, I'm sure. But listen, we get complacent as Christians, don't we? It's easy for us once we kind of get settled into a church and we are established in ministry a little bit, in whatever ministry you have, and maybe our family is kind of in a little bit of routine and we feel like we've conquered some sin through the help of the Lord, and all of that, is easy for us to get complacent. And before long, we are not watching circumspectly as we were told to do. The Apostle Paul later on in Corinthians puts it this way in chapter 10, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Let's be careful when we reign as kings that we don't get complacent. Now, I believe that Paul also, again, used a little sarcasm in that, and he wished that they really did reign as kings. Notice what he says in verse number 8, middle of it now, "And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you." That tells you he was using a little bit of sarcasm when he said they were reigning as kings. Because then he says, I really do want you to reign. And I believe what he means there is this. He wanted them to reign as kings in a godly way. He saw the carnality that the church had, and that's not reigning as a king. That's ruling as a child. But he wanted them to reign as kings. He wanted them to truly stand up in the spiritual maturity that they did have in Christ and walk in the Spirit and reign as kings and do what was right, so that, as he said, he could reign with them. He wanted to be able to visit the church at Corinth and see the blessing of what it was to be among spiritual people who understood what they had in Christ. I believe that's what he's saying to them with that little bit of sarcasm. But they had a blessed state. But verse 9 shows us the difficult state of the apostle. It was not that way for Paul. Look at verse 9 again. "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." So the difficult state of the apostle, he says that they were perhaps placed as last by God. In Paul's estimation, when he looked at everything, he said, you know what? God put you as kings, but us, the apostles, were last. Now, wait a minute. If you were in the church at Corinth back in that day, and somebody said to you, what do you think Paul's life is like? Do you think it's a blessing to be an apostle? Would you like to have that title? Would you like to have that ministry? I bet most of us would think, oh yeah, I mean, that's got to be great to be an apostle, to walk that closely with the Lord, to have that authority in the church, to be used of God to write scripture, all of those different things. I would love to be an apostle. I would love to have that place. But Paul tells them, listen, to be an apostle is to be placed last. Could I make an application to you and me today? Do you want leadership? Because real leadership, when it's the right kind of leadership, means you are put last. Others are first. You become, if you're a proper leader, if you're a godly kind of leader, then others get their needs met first. Young men, someday, chances are, you're going to get married. Before you get married, here's what I want you to realize. I want you to realize, if you are going to be a godly husband and a godly father, be ready for this. You will be last. I'm going to say that again. You will be last. Otherwise, you won't be a godly husband. Now, you see what dad does, or maybe what some other husband does, and you see that the wife makes him a nice meal and brings it to him, and the kids bring him a glass of iced tea when he comes home from work or whatever, and that's all good and that's all right. But those are just little things. If a husband and a father is going to be the right kind of leader, he is last. Not last in authority, but last in having his needs met. Because proper authority looks at the needs of others first. My needs come last. It's important that my wife have what she needs. It's important that my wife is comfortable. It's important that my wife is cared for. It's important that my wife has security. It's important that she has what she needs. And then if I get something on the back end of it, then that's just gravy. But her needs are met first. That's proper leadership. And the children come right after her. Once her needs are met, the children's have to be met. And by the way, that gets to be difficult. Because children are needy. And there are things that you've got to care for them. And by the way, fathers, that's why sometimes you have to discipline even though you don't want to. Because I don't know about you, but I can tell you, I hate disciplining my children. Hate it with everything in my body. But I love them enough to know their needs have to come before mine. Which means that even if I have to be uncomfortable, even if I have to feel bad, I want to make sure that their needs are met, which means I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to make sure that they don't get everything they want, that they're not allowed to do this or do that, that they are cared for in the way that they're given restrictions and they're made to follow through. Why? Because I'm last, they're first. And then in the church, it's the same way. We're about to have a deacon vote here in July, and I'll talk to you about that tonight in the meeting. Just to remind you of the process of voting in deacons. Do you want to be a deacon? That's not a bad ministry. That's a good thing. But listen, it's more than a title. It means your needs come last. That means you put the needs of others first. As our Constitution says, and more importantly, as the Bible teaches, deacon literally means, the Greek word behind it literally means servant. That's what it's all about. Okay, so is that really what you want? Because that's what it is all about, putting others first. And the apostle says, we are placed last by God. But I've got good news for you. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. By the way, young ladies, before you marry a guy, you make sure he understands what leadership is all about. Make sure that he understands that it is his job to care for you. And by the way, that doesn't mean that, you know, he's subservient to you and does whatever you say. That's not leadership. But he should put your needs above his. And if he won't do that before you're married, he's definitely not going to do it afterwards. All right? So you make sure you find yourself a good leader. And by the way, one who won't be afraid to handle the kids. Right? Amen, ladies? Amen. Because it shouldn't be the wife's job to do the disciplining. It should be dad's job. I know that sounds a little weird, but dads, that's your job to discipline, not mom's. Moms are good at cuddling and kissing and all that good kind of stuff and snuggling. That's what moms are for. Dads are for discipline and say, son, shape up. Don't talk to your mom that way. Knock it off. And with the girls, sometimes not quite as harsh, but same type of thing, right? That's a dad's job. So young ladies, you find yourself a young man who understands that and is able and capable of doing that. All right, let's go to Mark chapter number 10 and let's see the good news about being last. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 28. Mark 10 and verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Isn't that a blessing? But look at verse 31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. I think that last little bit there in verse 31, Jesus threw in there to remind us it's not going to be like we think it is. Again, we look at somebody who's got some great position of authority and we think, wow, God's going to give them all kinds of rewards, and maybe he will. And there's somebody over here who they didn't really have much of a place of influence and didn't really affect that many people. We think, oh, they'll get some rewards, but it won't be that much. And we may not have it right. And what I want to encourage you with is when you are last, there's a good chance that God will put you first when it comes to the giving out of rewards. So be a servant to all and trust the Lord that he will reward you. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians and see again now that the apostles were placed last by God. The difficult state of the apostle, not only that, but they were appointed to death by God. That's what Paul says here. He says in verse 9, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death." Wow. "For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and to men." Their ministry was all about death. That's what it felt like to him anyway. Boy, that sounds like a ministry that I want to sign up for. And I'm joking in that, obviously, but that's what the apostle said that he was, that his ministry was like. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 1, he says this, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10 for our scripture reading. And you know what he says there? He says, "Listen, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm ready to be done with this life. And I have faith and I understand that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And I can't wait," is basically what he's saying. That's what his life was all about. And that's what it's like to be an apostle. Not only is he appointed to death by God, but he is a spectacle to the world and to angels and to men. He's just there for entertainment, is what it felt like. Boy, he's painting a beautiful picture of the ministry, isn't he? But boy, that's the reality of it. And if you've been involved in any kind of ministry at all, you know that that is exactly what it's like. But I want to encourage you, it's worth it, friends. Don't give up in whatever ministry that God has given to you. Again, be it your family, don't give up in that ministry. Keep serving the Lord by serving your family. Keep praying for your kids. Keep ministering to your wife or your husband and serve in that area or nursing home ministry that you have. I know you may think, I don't know if anybody in this entire room is catching anything that I'm saying. Have you ever been there when you've preached in a nursing home? I know I have. The one I always remember is the old lady who every once in a while would stand up from her chair she was in a wheelchair and she would wheel up to the pulpit where I was a young 12-year-old boy. Every once in a while I'd get the opportunity to preach a 5-minute message or something like that. And she'd wheel her wheelchair up to the front of the pulpit and say, "Be quiet, young man. Stop talking." And I was just trying to preach, right? I know how it is in nursing home ministries. And you think, man, I don't know if anything is going on here. Listen, keep going. Be faithful. "I'm just a spectacle. Satan's just laughing at me, and so is everyone else." Hey, you're in good company. The Apostle Paul was too. Just keep being faithful and doing right. And we go on and on with the van ministry that picks up kids, or the street ministry where we hand out tracts, or you know, whatever it might be, and it might be not even an outreach ministry, but whatever ministry you have, just keep being faithful, because recognize that this is what the ministry is. And so now we come to verse 10, where the apostle takes kind of a contrast. He takes them both in one verse in contrast, what it's like to be a Corinthian Christian in that church and what it was like to be an apostle. And he says in verse 10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Boy, what a contrast. The apostles were fools, weak, and despised. The Christians in Corinth were wise in Christ, they were strong, and they were honorable. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing to be a Christian. And if we seek to serve the Lord, we're going to have to remember that it may mean that we are entering into suffering. Revelation 3, there's a section there about the Laodicean church. You remember that section? And where the Lord Jesus said to them through the Apostle John, he said, "Ye are rich and increased with goods," or you think you are, right? "And have need of nothing. But you don't realize that you're miserable and blind and naked." Let's be careful that we don't think that everything's fine, but in the meantime, we're miserable, blind, and naked. But now verses 11 through 13, I would title these verses Temperance on Display. How is Paul and the other apostles, how are they going to handle this? What are they going to do to respond? He says, "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." The apostles went without food, water, and clothing. Isn't that what it says? The apostles went without food, water, and clothing. I thought God took care of his own. He does. You mean that if I enter into the ministry and seek to serve the Lord, that it's possible that I could go without something? Yes. God is not a genie in a bottle that is there for us to rub the lamp and get everything we want whenever we want it. And sometimes when we enter into ministry, listen, we are entering into the yoke with Jesus. And that means that we're going to suffer in ways. You're going to be tired on a Sunday afternoon. You're going to have a week where maybe some tears are shed because of somebody that you've been working with who's falling through the cracks despite your best efforts to get them to do right. And you're entering into the yoke with Jesus. I sent Brother Pritchett a little clip of a video I saw this last week, and the title of the video sums up the video very well. It said, being a pastor, and I'm not going to get this exactly right, but it was titled like this, pastoring is a call to grief. And I watched the video, and you know what? That's exactly right. And I don't say that to make you feel bad for me, but it's grief just to work with people, and you know it if you've done any ministry, work with people and watch them fall away. Invest in people and watch them turn their backs. Invest in people and work with people and watch them not care. But wait a minute, isn't that what Jesus goes through? So when we enter into ministry, is it any surprise that we would face what he faces? No matter what our ministry would be, that is what it is like. And so we need to remember that. They went without food, water, and clothing. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When the apostles went through times of being without food, water, and clothing, what was the end result of that? They learned in that state to be content in whatever state God put them in. That it meant if they were full, praise the Lord for that. But if they were hungry, I can handle that too. Because God is with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what they learned through all of that. Let me ask us this question. Have we learned that at all? Have we learned that in a time when we are without, we're serving the Lord, we're giving him our best, but our needs, listen, our needs are not quite met. Are we still content? Oh, ouch, I'm convicted. Because I'm a big whiner. I don't know about you. Not to you, but to the Lord. Lord, there's this thing, and it's normal for me to need this and want this, and Lord, it's not being met in the way I think it should be met. And Lord, here I am, I'm serving you, and Satan's servants, they get taken care of real well, and they have all that they want, and Lord, how come I don't have what I want? And that's not what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've learned whatever state I'm in, I'm content. And he, by the way, had to learn that because it wasn't human nature, was it? That's what he went through. We can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, temperance on display. He mentioned that they were buffeted. That means that they were beaten up. That was part of their service for the Lord. He mentioned that they had no certain dwelling. That reminds me of the Lord Jesus, where the Lord Jesus in Matthew 8 said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, that was the apostles too. They labored with their own hands. Being an apostle was not a place of prestige where other people worked for them and they got to sit around and be lazy and just were provided a salary. Rather, they had to work with their own hands to provide for their needs. They blessed in the face of reviling. When other people reviled them, how did they respond? They blessed them. And again, I realize we're throwing this around as ministry that all of us have. And let me remind you again with this, that if you want to be in ministry, whatever ministry that might be, this is one of the areas where you have to really be ready for it. That when you are reviled, you don't get to smart off again. You don't get to chew the person out because they called you a name. You don't get to hold a grudge when someone is mad at you for no reason, which, by the way, happens in ministry all the time. You know what you get to do? Bless them. Pray for them. Though they talk bad about you, though they spread rumors about you, though they threaten violence against you. Does that happen in ministry? Yes. And you have to bless them in return. That's what the apostle did. That's what ministry is about. And wait a minute, who's our example? It's not even Paul, it's Jesus. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Wow, what an example the Lord Jesus set for us. And I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 2, it's mentioned that he did not curse back when people cursed him. The apostles not only blessed in the face of reviling, but they suffered persecution. When they were defamed, they entreated. They were made as the filth and offscouring of the world. What a contrast between them and the Corinthians. And it was temperance on display. And so he says in verse 14, let's finish this up now, verses 14 to 17. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." The apostle gives them a warning. He says that this was not written to shame them, rather to warn them. What was he warning them about? He was warning them about not being puffed up. Look at verse 6. Go backwards to verse 6. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." You know what this warning is all about? It's about, listen, when you're in the church and you're tempted to jockey for position, which we all are, don't let that happen. This is a warning, because real leadership means what Paul went through. So don't jockey for position. That's not what you and I should be doing. And he mentions to them that they were beloved sons. He mentions that they had many instructors, that God will use Apollos, he will use Cephas, he will use all these different instructors, but he says to them that they were his sons. When they began to feel as if they were important, they only needed to remember that their spiritual father, Paul, was in a humble state, and therefore they should be humble of mind as well. And they were to be followers of him. And that's why he sent to them Timothy in verse 17. And here's what he says about Timothy in verse 17. We already read it. He said that he was a son of Paul. And he, Timothy, would bring them into remembrance of Paul's ways. And Paul's ways were in Christ. Paul's ways were taught in every church. And Timothy was going to remind them of that. Why? So they wouldn't be puffed up one against another. And then verse 18, he says, "Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" You see, he's warning them. Don't be puffed up. This is what it's like to be an apostle. And when I come, I'm going to want to see not how good you are with your mouth, but what the power is behind what you do. And he encourages them that he doesn't want to come with a rod. He doesn't want to come angry. He doesn't want to come disciplining. He wants to be able to come in love and in the spirit of meekness. I hope that's a good challenge to you and me to remember about ministry, that ministry is all about serving others. And sometimes when we are in ministry, it means that we're going to suffer with the Lord. But that's all right. God will bless us and will repay us, will recompense our labor for him, and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the time that we've had tonight to look into your word and to learn from the apostle here about what it was like to be an apostle and the suffering that was there, the temperance that was needed. Lord, would you help us to be like that? Lord, would you help us to remember that leadership is not about a position of sitting on a throne and commanding others to do work, but it is a position of being last and putting others first. Lord, would you help with that? Lord, would you guide and direct and bless your people tonight as we go our separate ways here in a little bit? Would you bless the meeting that we'll have as well? Have your hand upon it. We trust that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.